Welcome to the Intimate Marriage Podcast, where I teach educated, successful couples how to have incredible, passionate relationships so that you can stop compromising and start feeling fully alive in your relationship. I'm your host, Alexandra Stockwell, aka the Intimacy Doctor. I'm a physician and an intimate marriage expert. My husband and I have been married for 26 years. We have 4 children and full professional lives, and we've created an amazing relationship. I've also shown hundreds of couples how to do so as well. If you want to deepen your understanding of your own relationship and learn to access new heights of emotional, sensual, and erotic intimacy, you're in the right place. I will show you how. Now let's dive in. Hey. Today I'm going to be talking about the second key to an intimate marriage. In last week's podcast episode, I talked about the first key to an intimate marriage, namely cultivate curiosity. And today I'm going to be talking about embrace honesty. Now, at first glance, of course, that seems like a really obvious thing. Of course, you should be honest with your spouse, honest about anything significant and insignificant, because why would you be hiding things from the person that you're married to? Well, that is actually rarely the approach that people live by, sometimes even unconsciously. So let's first just say that in this episode, I'm not going to be addressing the big dishonesties, infidelity, bank accounts that are never revealed, even when you have joint finances. Maybe you make a big purchase and don't let your husband know, or don't let your wife know. Like, there's some intense big lies that are very clearly lies. The person who's doing it is aware of that and, for whatever reason, is making that choice, paying the rent on an apartment to keep a mistress without ever sharing that. Okay, that is a complex topic and not the one I'm addressing, because I really am devoted in this podcast to talking to you with your solid marriage that looks great on the outside, and on the inside, you know it could be so much better. Either because it's pretty good, but you know in every other area things can get so much better, so why not this one? Or because things are kind of gritty, crunchy, dissatisfying. There's resentment, conflict. There's a kind of crumbling happening inside. So wherever you are in relation to all of that, embrace honesty is for you. It's like salt in your relationship. It influences everything. So let me get a little bit more specific. Because again, we're not talking about the situation where someone thinks their father is the man who raised them and he thinks that you're his child, and then you go do one of the DNA tests, Ancestry.com or 23andMe or whatever, and then come to find out actually your father is not your biological father. We're not talking about those kinds of secrets, although that is definitely a phenomenon which occurs. We're also not talking about drug habits and using, you know, accessing the 401k to pay for a drug habit. None of that. We're talking much more about the kind of situation where you and your spouse are talking and maybe you have a little bit of tension inside. You're annoyed about something. You don't like how his tone of voice last night, or how he touched you, or how he wanted to touch you, and you didn't really want to say no because you don't want to be rejecting him, but you didn't want to say yes because you were focused on other things and not in the mood. Like, whatever it is, And then he says to you, "Hey, how are you?" And you say, "I'm fine. For the purposes of this podcast, that is a place that I wouldn't actually go so far as to say you're being dishonest, but I would say it is definitely a place to embrace honesty. We compromise, we look for the conflict-free, seemingly smoothest way forward, and it comes at a cost. It comes at a very real cost. In fact, when you're feeling you have some unresolved emotion, some internal tension, whatever it is, and your spouse says, "How are you?" and you say, "I'm fine," you are essentially desensitizing your spouse to be attuned to your emotions, to your internal state. This episode is sponsored by the Aligned and Hot Marriage Program, my signature program designed for busy, educated couples who want to experience more closeness, more connection, and more passion. Go to alignedhotmarriage.com for all the juicy details. Perhaps you've heard one of the podcasts where I've talked about faking orgasm. If not, I'm going to summarize it right now. Pretty much every woman knows how this goes. There just are times when it seems like the most expedient, simple, efficient, honestly kind thing to do is to just fake an orgasm so everyone, well, everyone else, meaning your partner, can feel better, and then the two of you can move on to whatever is next. But every time a woman fakes orgasm, she is training her partner to be a less qualified, less sensitive, less aware, less skillful lover, because he's going to conclude that whatever it is that he was doing and however her body felt and responded, that that was leading to orgasm, when in fact it wasn't. She was faking it. And no matter how skillfully you fake it, you do not do yourself any favors to be training your lover to misinterpret your response to however he is touching you. Similarly, if your spouse says, "How are you? Are you okay?" And you say, "Yeah, I'm fine," or "I'm fine," or "Yeah," however it is you want to answer that question. If you're really fine, great. That's not what I'm actually talking about. But if you're not actually fine, you just think there's no point in talking about it. He's not going to get it. It's going to take too long to hash the whole thing through. Whatever it is, or you feel nervous to say. Like, there's so many reasons why someone just says, "I'm fine." They can be just, it seems practical, it seems logical, it is just too confronting. You don't even know what to say. If you were to speak more honestly, like if you were to answer the question for yourself, you're not sure what words to answer. There's so many reasons why you might just say, "I'm fine." But every time that you do, it's like putting up a micro wall between the two of you. Because if he asks that question, whether consciously he perceived there was something going on inside you, or he actually didn't perceive anything and just asked, either way, when you say, "I'm fine," and you're not, you are training him not to pay attention to your subtle emotional state. You are training him to be less sensitive to what is happening in your soul. And naturally, when that mini wall goes up that makes it harder for him to perceive you, and you're no longer available to be seen, even though this is a very subtle, seemingly micro moment, it builds emotional walls that need to be dissolved for true intimacy, true connection, and easy flow of all kinds of energy to happen. Yes, including erotic energy. Let me tell you a story of how this plays out in my own personal life. So actually, I've been married for 26 years. My husband and I have an absolutely fantastic relationship. We're very passionate. We're collaborative. We each do our own thing and grow in all kinds of ways. And then we share it with one another so that whatever growth he's undergoing personally or professionally, and whatever growth I'm undergoing personally or professionally, we want to bring that back into our marriage so that there isn't some aspect of ourselves which is left outside. So yeah, we have truly a fantastic, fantastic marriage. And this is what happened just last week. So it was a Tuesday night. My husband needed to get up early and go into work for a meeting before seeing patients, so he needed to get his sleep, and he went to bed early on Tuesday, and I had some things to do, and I went to bed late. There was probably 3-4 hours between when he went to sleep and when I went to bed. And when I went into bed, my phone was on the full brightness setting, and it woke him up, which, of course, I did not mean for that to happen, but it woke him up. He's a light sleeper, not really even completely fully awake. He just got up in order to go into a room that was dark for the rest of the night so that he could get his sleep. But as he was leaving, I was so sorry because I was looking forward to getting into bed with him, and I called to him, and he didn't answer. I called 2 or 3 times and he didn't answer, and I didn't follow him. I was clear that the priority was that he get his sleep, and honestly, it was so late, the priority was that I got my sleep too. But I felt rejected. It reminded me of the days, I don't know, 30 years ago when on the very few occasions that I've experienced someone hanging up on me because I called to him and he didn't answer. So he and I both know how to regulate our own nervous systems, how to take care of our own emotions, how to focus on the priorities, and also how to come back and discuss things in the right moment rather than just sweeping things under the rug where they accumulate and build resentment. So sure enough, he went to work early as he needed to. I have learned over the years that these are not the kinds of conversations to have over text or while he's at work because it just restricts how much of him is available when he's at the clinic. It's just not the time to have a kind of nuanced, emotionally oriented conversation. So he came home Wednesday. We had a nice family dinner together. We're with the kids. And then after they'd gone to bed, I said to him, "What happened for you last night?" And he explained what I've already said, which is that his priority was to get enough sleep, and the light from my phone woke him up. And actually, he thought it was a lot longer than it was, but it's because he was in and out of sleep, and so his impression wasn't reliable. And so, I mean, he didn't know that. He actually didn't know how long it had been. He thought, like, I had a bright light in the room for 45 minutes when it was, you know, probably about 40 seconds. But anyway, and so he just got up thinking that that would be the best thing for everybody and didn't want to have a whole conversation with me about it because the point was to get some sleep. And so he went and got sleep so that I could have the time and space I needed to do whatever I was doing before getting into bed. And so I heard all of that, and that made sense. And I was completely clear that he had no malicious intent. He just wanted both of us to be well rested and was actually kind of out of it to an extent that I wasn't going to hold him responsible for what he had done anyway, although I was clear that he had heard me and just kept going. And so I heard all of that and acknowledged it. And then I said, well, when you left and I called to you and you didn't come back, it hurt my feelings. At which point he went into a whole explanation, mostly what he had already said and a little bit more about what it was that was motivating him and how he hadn't meant to hurt my feelings and da 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 da. But really entirely focused on what he did and why he did it. And I heard all of that, and I didn't feel as intensely as I had the night before, but I was like, oh, I'm feeling ignored again. And then I took a breath and I said, you know, I feel like a turtle, and I stuck my head out and told you that my feelings were hurt, but you just railroaded over that. And so what I want to do is stick my head back into my shell and not come out for a while, but I'm sticking it back out again to say that when I told you that my feelings were hurt last night, the way you responded really didn't work for me. At which point, he pivoted, he became fully present, and said, thank you so much for sticking your head out again. And then he was present with me and listened to my experience. And sure enough, once he was listening in that way that was so honoring and present, I just said what I had to say, but I didn't have a whole lot more to say because all I wanted was to feel seen and heard and then let it go. Okay, I've told you this whole story, which is not dramatic. It's not like having an affair. It's not company embezzlement. It's nothing like that. It's this very small micro matter of me telling my husband that my feelings were hurt. And this is the sort of thing that I mean when I'm talking about embracing honesty. Because if I hadn't said that, I probably wouldn't have remembered it a week later. But the resentment built, and those micro walls build, and suddenly I'm sharing less with him altogether, which means I'm bringing less of myself to the relationship, which means less of me is available for the relationship, which means there's less flirtation, there's plenty of logistical things and cooking dinner and attending to the children because those don't fall away because we are both responsible, loving grown-ups, but there's just less and less connection between us, and I definitely am not available for as much sensual intimacy as I otherwise would be. However much that is, it's not important. It's just that it's less when these micro walls go up. So what are you hearing with this? Do you recognize why it's so important to embrace honesty? Because actually, once I came to understand the importance of embracing honesty and I learned how to do it, which I have a whole module in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program, my signature online program. The link is in the show notes because if what I'm saying resonates with you, you have to do the program because it's actually very simple to develop the skills that go with embracing honesty, but where are they taught? Where are they modeled? very, very few people grow up with this level of honesty in their home. Because in order to have this level of honesty, you need to have a certain amount of self-awareness, a certain amount of capacity to express, to be willing to be vulnerable enough to speak what is true for you. And of course, there's a whole learning curve related to learning how to receive these kinds of communications so that it does build closeness, so that it does promptly dissolve the walls that have been built up. And that is exactly why I have the instructions. It may sound mysterious as I describe really what I think of as courage to go ahead and say how I felt, and when it wasn't heard, to say it again. And my husband, he didn't know how to do this when we got married. He didn't have any clue that he didn't know how to do it because he didn't know it was important. But he learned. And you can too. And yes, I'm telling this as the woman with emotions and my husband who went into a kind of defensive problem solving. But believe me, it goes in the other direction too. It actually takes more presence, more attentiveness, more generosity from me to make it comfortable for my husband to share how he's feeling. We have both needed to learn how to do this. And if it's something that you want to experience, well, that's why the Embrace Honesty module exists in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program, because it's actually a very simple skill to learn. And when both of you learn it, the most extraordinary things can happen. First of all, I walk around without any resentment. That is a triumph. That is worth doing a dance, because I used to be filled with resentment. Not exclusively resentment, but I used to have a lot of resentment, and it would be like a straitjacket that would make it hard for me to really express my love and receive my husband's love. And there are two ways that I got rid of my resentment straitjacket. One is by learning how to clear my resentments, which is actually something in a different module in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program, because it's such an important skill for relationships. But anyway, I learned how to clear my resentments, and I also learned how to speak up so that I wasn't building resentment in the first place. So when I'm talking about the importance of embracing honesty, and I'm talking about it in the context of creating an intimate marriage, what I'm really talking about is when you feel tension, when you feel hurt feelings, anger, fear, sadness, rejection, disappointment, disgust, frustration, anything other than a wonderful, wonderful, warm, beautiful connection with your spouse, well, it's your job to pay attention to that. First, be honest with yourself. That's the thing. You have to embrace honesty with yourself. And then it's the smallest communications when you're embracing honesty with your partner, and it truly makes magic. It completely changes the flavor of your relationship. When you go through this module in the Aligned and Hot Marriage program, you will transform so much more than you can even imagine, because as soon as you have the way to speak up at this level of truth and have your partner hear it, oh, you're going to be having conversations you've never had before that are fabulous and intricate and intense and delicious. And this really is what lays the foundation for a completely fulfilling partnership. So if you want to embrace honesty and let the energy flow between the two of you and just dissolve all those micro walls between you, the next thing to do is to click on the link in the show notes or go ahead and Google alignedhotmarriage.com and enroll, because it will absolutely change your life and it will open you to some of the most delicious emotional connection, a kind of peacefulness and a juiciness that really makes for the most fantastic intimacy. Thank you for joining me on this episode of the Intimate Marriage Podcast. If you're ready to deepen your relationship and create a truly intimate, delicious, and vibrant marriage, head over to alexandrastockwell.com and choose the program that's right for you.